Hey guys, what's up? Coach Witt here. I am with Coach Buffy. We are coming back to you live from Live Active Charlotte. This is going to be episode 6 of our Live Active podcast. What's up, Buffy?
I'm doing pretty good. I hope everyone out there is doing great. We're coming up on week 2 of the Open, so lots of stuff going on out there on the interwebs about the Open and strategies, and that kind of segues us up into today's topic. We're going to be talking a little bit about recovery and stress and how that plays into our performance.
Yeah, I think this is kind of right on time with where we are, especially if you're doing the Open. It's going to be very important if you want to have, you know, good scores and you want to do the best that you can possibly do. You want to take care of your recovery as well as you can. We've talked a lot to you in the first couple of episodes about our diet and ways to track our food and stuff like that. We've talked some about exercise. So this time we thought we would maybe talk about, you know, like she said, recovery, stress relief, stuff like that. Believe it or not, it's just as big of a part of the equation as your diet is, as your exercise is. You know, I think most people out there know now that when you exercise, you break down your muscle fibers. And then when they grow back, hopefully they grow back a little bigger. That's why we lift weights. That's why we work out. And if you're not recovering correctly, if you're not giving your body that chance to kind of build itself back up and to recover, you're gonna not see as good of benefits as if you were recovering correctly.
Yeah, and let's be honest, not most of the population listening to our podcast is probably not going to be in the CrossFit Games.
Right.
So we, in other words, this is not our main job for most of us. We are going to have other responsibilities and stresses of life on our job, you know, whether it be our families, kids, relationships, spouses, work, other than just training. And so we have to pay attention and be in tune with what effect that has on our fitness.
Yeah, I totally agree. You know, people have kids, they have regular jobs, they have all of this stuff going on. And, you know, it's almost like we're out here in a rat race. It's go faster and do more things. And how much stuff can I cram in one day? And, you know, when we really sit back and think about it, how many of us actually take care of ourselves like we're supposed to? How many of us get enough sleep? How many of us eat the right kind of foods, or, you know, do yoga, you know, stuff like that to kind of help us recover and eliminate this stress? So why don't you kind of start us off? We're going to talk about a couple of different ways to minimize our stress and different kind of strategies and plans that we can use outside of the gym. And I'll kind of hit on some of the ones that maybe I've tried. I know there's a couple that you've done that I haven't done. So we'll just kind of talk about a couple of those and we'll go from there.
Awesome. So let's talk about also, first, let's talk about how bad stress can be for our bodies. So chronic stress, that day-to-day stress, you know, someone cut you off at a red light, or you're running late, or kids forgot their lunch, or whatever it is, that chronic stress that really sends our heart rate up can really lead, increases our chances for stroke, can lead to issues with, obviously, with heart attacks. It is actually very bad for your health to have chronic stress over and daily, on a daily basis, without any strategy for some stress relief. So we want to really kind of strategize how we deal with that stress, and some of it can be preemptive, and some of it can, you know, you can do as that stress is kind of happening to you. So let's talk about the first strategy that I feel like is a preemptive strategy for me, but it could be for some folks as part of a recovery as well, and that is really giving back to my body. So one of the first things that you can do is schedule regular massage and or acupuncture. Both of these really help reduce stress. Like you were saying, you're breaking down that muscle. And if you can get those toxins kind of out, they sit in the latent muscle. So if you can get that out and into the bloodstream and released, you're going to feel better and recover better. And not only that, you can't tell me you don't relax in a massage. It's really relaxing. I mean, I guess some sports massages could be a little difficult.
Yeah,
to relax.
if you're going like super deep tissue,
maybe that's not.
Sometimes they're a little painful, but yeah, nine times out of ten, you know, you're going to be in a dark room. There might be like slow music playing, candles, all this kind of stuff. It feels good, you know.
Yeah.
And if you're super sore, you had a really bad workout, or you've had a long week, or whatever. The massage feels really good. I've done the massage. I've never done the acupuncture yet. I've done, you know, cupping and some of the newer kind of fads out like that. So tell us a little bit about acupuncture. What's that
right.
all about?
Yeah. So I actually got acupuncture a couple years ago. Might not know, but I herniated some discs in my back. And so I was looking for pain relief at the time, but it became almost addictive because it was such immediate relief and de-stressing 100%. So I went to at that time I lived in Florida. I went to a local acupuncturist. We do have one here that Brian recommends. So you can always email us for that information. But that acupuncture made such a big difference for me because it was so immediate.
Sure.
Sometimes the massage can be like that as well. Another one that I want to touch on that's really good is just to get outside.
Sure.
Right now, our weather has been really bad here. Rain, gloom, and that has an effect on your stress, your day. It really does. There's not your vitamin D levels are low, and your B12 vitamins, therefore, are low. And those two vitamins work together. So if you can, as far as energy and positive moods and serotonin development, melatonin, all of those things are factors. So if we can get outside, even for 15 minutes a day, studies show that will increase your mood overall and your outlook on life.
Yeah, I think it's interesting that probably most people are deficient in like vitamin D because they don't get enough exposure to the sun. And like she said, it doesn't have to be anything serious. You could walk your dog. You could go for a hike. You could play with your kids. As long as you're kind of getting outside, letting the sun hit your face, you're going to feel better after. Like she said, it's been raining here for what seems like all of 2019. I know yesterday the sun was out. I had a couple minutes before my class. I got out in the parking lot. I shot some basketball. I mean, I just felt better after. You know, I was in the sun. It was warm. It feels good. It just makes you feel better. So I think that should probably be a goal for all of us.
Yes.
And especially like our kids. You know, kids now, they're glued to their screens. Kids don't go outside and play anymore a lot. So we just want to always make sure that we are kind of taking care of ourselves in that aspect.
Yeah. And because we are coming out of a colder season, this might not be as necessary. But I also found, you know, I'm a little bit of a coffee junkie, especially since I have to get up so early to be here at the gym. And so I found too much caffeine, you know, touching on the food, too much caffeine can really cause those stress levels. Of course, it increases our heart rate and it's cold. So you're trying to drink something warm. So a technique, another one that I've used, which also is shown to reduce stress, is to do warm lemon water. So a little bit of lemon in it. It's an old Chinese kind of way of doing things, but starting your day with warm lemon water, something about holding a warm cup actually has been shown to increase your mood, decrease stress. And then it does things like open up the vascular system. And lemon, of course, citrus, gives you those good feelings, high in those B vitamins, which are those good feeling vitamins. So also helps reduce stress. And bonus, it kickstarts your metabolism.
There
you
go.
So another trick there.
Sure. Talk to us for a minute or two about yoga.
Yeah, yoga's good. I'm not a super stretchy person. So I've taken some yoga classes. Here we have great yoga classes. In fact, we have one offered. There's one coming up this Sunday. They're about once a month, and they're called Serenity Sunday. They're a three-hour class, includes yoga, a little bit of breathing technique. We're going to talk over some positive mindset techniques with you. It is a very refreshing day. I think they actually have like lavender essential oils being diffused. So another great technique, those oils getting the smell factory is involved. So yoga has been shown time after time to increase your mood and also decrease stress. So that is another one that should be part of your recovery, don't you think?
Sure. Yeah. And I'm kind of like you. I'm not a super over the top yoga stretching type person, but every time I've done it, I've felt better after. So that kind of tells me right there, I should probably work on it a little bit more. And it doesn't have to be, you know, if you don't feel comfortable taking it in a class, there's YouTube, there's a million different resources online. If you're a CrossFitter, you've probably heard of Ramwad. It's the same kind of type thing, breathing, stretching, specifically kind of geared towards athletes. So I think it's good. I really enjoy it when I do it. I don't feel super comfortable doing it because I'm not quite as flexible as some of the others, but that kind of comes back on me. Like, I need to check that a little bit. I should definitely do a little bit more. One of my kind of favorite things to do, and I think we're going to talk about this next, is kind of like meditation. So it's almost like yoga, but without all the stretching, right?
Well, the stretching is good. That's great for recovery. But yeah, meditation, prayer, meditation for some folks. Sometimes I'll call it gratitude. When I sit in meditation, I'm really thinking about, for myself, like focusing on what to be thankful for instead of focusing on our problems. And that's a mindset change. It's just the same in the gym, and it also helps us with the recovery and our performance. Are we going to focus on what we did well in the gym or our strengths? Are we focusing on, oh, I need to train this weakness, I should train that weakness, oh, I'm terrible at this, oh, I'm terrible at that? That's not necessarily the best mindset, especially going into a competition like the Open. So I feel like that does two things. It improves our recovery and it reduces our stress. What are your thoughts?
Sure. And there's something to be said definitely about just spending some time by yourself, you know,
maybe
in the dark, your kids are not awake yet, or they're at school, or you've been working all day, something like that. I know, and now you can do everything from your phone. Mm-hmm. I have an app on my phone. It's called Headspace. There's a million different ones. Calm is another one that I've recognized. Mm-hmm. It takes like 10 minutes a day. You wake up in the morning, it's dark, it's quiet, you sit by yourself, and the guy with the smoothest voice of all time kind of walks you through. And it's just, it makes you feel so much better to not have all of this crap kind of floating through your head, and you can just kind of be alone with yourself, with your own thoughts, you know, 10 minutes a day. That's nothing. We could all, I'm sure, find 10 minutes out of our day. And it just allows you to kind of collect your thoughts, relax a little bit, spend some time in your own head with your own thoughts. And like you said, I think gratitude is a huge one. It's hard to be in a bad mood or be down when you're constantly thinking about how grateful you are for the things that you do have and, you know, kind of how your life is going.
Yeah, that's great. And you mentioned a little bit, too, about getting your mind clear. I know that this can affect my stress levels, can greatly affect one of the best ways that we recover, and that's our sleep. So
Sure. Talk
to us about that a little bit with in some strategies. I'll tell you, with my own kids and my own family, we reduce the amount of time to of the screen time prior to their bedtime. They say within an hour you should not be on the screen, because that blue light exposure actually triggers a part of the brain that's that overthinking part of the brain. And what will happen is then that's being stimulated, and your dopamine and your serotonin levels will drop. I'm sorry, your dopamine is up and spiked, and the serotonin levels will drop. And that is those serotonin levels are the ones that are like that calming down and help you get into that deep sleep. So if you're all hyped up, like you've been watching TV or playing a video game or playing on your phone or reading Facebook or updating your status, whatever flim flam you've been doing on that screen, that's going to keep those dopamine levels so high that it's harder for you to fall asleep. I know that's true in my own family.
Yeah, I'm really bad about this one. I do get my prescribed 8 hours of sleep. And if you guys aren't getting at least 7, 8, 9 hours of sleep a night, that's not enough. Especially if you're an athlete, or you're a gym member, whatever, and you come in and you work out, you know, five, six, seven times a week, and you're sleeping only 2 or 3 hours at night, there's no way that you're going to maximize your potential. And like I said, I do get my 8 hours, but I'm really bad about being on my phone or watching TV or, you know, something like that right before bed. And it takes me a little bit longer to fall asleep. There's all kinds of research coming out now about the different lights that your phone puts out. And, you know, I know there's a lot of companies that they make special glasses now to block out certain lights. And I just listened to a podcast the other day where a guy was talking about he changed his bedroom lights out to like red lights instead of his regular, you know, fluorescent or LED, whatever he had. That way, when he got ready to go to bed, his lights were red, you know, and it kind of helped him fall into, a better, faster, more sound sleep. Sleep is a big one. If you're not getting enough sleep, not even talking about the gym, but your work life is probably going to suffer. You're probably not going to be in a very good mood. You know, your personal life is going to suffer. It's not good. You know, even as we get older, you know, you might have could have gotten away with getting 2 or 3 hours of sleep at night when you were in college or when you were younger or something like that. That's not going to work as you get older, especially if you're somebody that's coming to the gym and working out.
Yeah. Last thing I really want to touch on is going to be talking a little bit about that, what we're eating at night. You know, you've always heard those old wives' tales kind of about, you know, I ate a piece of pizza and then I had a nightmare, or I ate something crazy and I had heartburn all night. But it does affect you. You are going into that, or trying, your body's trying to go into that deep sleep. And if you've got a lot of crazy metabolism stuff going on, lots of stomach acid, it's going to affect the way that you sleep. Not only that, the way that we handle stress, all of that kind of ties back to our nutrition corset being 80% of what we do in the gym. So it does matter what you eat, how close to when you try to go to bed. Another thing that I just came to me as I was thinking about this that has helped before is I've made those sleepy teas, hot tea at night. You can do a sleepy tea. I've also done the golden milk, which is the turmeric, anti-inflammatory, and do it with a little fattier milk, like a coconut milk, and make that kind of a gold tea. And that will help you because you need that little bit of fat in your belly to satiate you, keep you, because you're essentially fasting for that sure. 9 to 12 hours between breakfast and that dinner.
Yeah. And I mean, they make all kinds of supplements now to help you sleep. I've done melatonin before. Mm-hmm. You know, the big thing these days is CBD. That can help you sleep some. So you just want to find what kind of works for you. And then ultimately, I think probably the biggest one for 99% of us would be limiting that screen time before you go to bed. You know, I use my phone as my alarm, and I technically should not do that. They say that you should keep your cell phone in another room because not only just sleep, but how many times have you woken up and the very first thing that you do when you wake up is check your phone to see if you have any notifications or this or that. I know I'm certainly guilty of that.
Yeah.
You know, and that's not starting off your day in a correct way either, which is bringing us all back to, you know, this stress. Oh my God, what happened on the internet last night while I was asleep and yeah. this and that. You know, when we talk about stress and kind of staying calm and recovering, you know, looking at your phone the last thing before you go to bed and the first thing in the morning when you wake up is probably not going to be the best idea. So put that thing in another room, get yourself an old school alarm clock, you know, whatever you have to do to not be staring at your phone before you go to bed and immediately when you wake up.
That's great. So I think all these strategies, reducing stress, will help in our recovery. Anything else you think really helps us in recovery as far as the open? Because we do, you know, we have a workout essentially every week that we're really planning for. And some of us even trying to do it more than one time. So really important that we get that recovery throughout the week.
Yeah, just really quick on that, a couple of things there. Make sure you take rest days. I know we've all been guilty. I know I've certainly done 7 days a week, you know, a couple sessions a day, you know, not now, but when I was a little bit younger. You know, you need rest. Like we said at the very beginning, when you work out, you break down the muscle. If you want them to grow back bigger and you want to have more muscle, you have to allow your body to do that. And if you're constantly just beating yourself to death every single day, two or three workouts a day, eventually that's going to catch up to you and you're not going to be able to maximize your results. So what I like to do, I like to get two rest days a week. One of them, I just don't do anything. And then the other one, I consider like active rest. So maybe I go for a run or do endurance class or ride the bike a little bit. Or, you know, maybe if it's nice outside, you shoot basketball or play with your kids, walk your dog, something to kind of stay active, but it's not lifting weights and working out. So taking rest days would be one. And then the other thing that I wanted to kind of touch on is your mobility. In a class setting, we might get to do two or three stretches or exercises. That's not enough, especially if you're somebody that struggles with, you know, if you've got a bad front rack or if you've got tight hips or something like that. You got to be working on this stuff before class, after class, at night, before you go to bed. You know, to kind of, again, we want to maximize our performance in the gym and in life. If I don't work on those things, if I can't physically get my hands or my arms behind my head, I'm never going to be able to overhead squat.
And also remember, you know, mobility prevents injury. And so it's really important. Obviously, we're in a 5-week open here, we're trying not to get hurt at the same time. And not all of us are super young spring chickens and we can't just kind of recover really quickly. For some athletes, that's definitely a factor. But even more of a reason, as we age, we lose mobility naturally. So we really have to be focused on getting and maintaining that mobility so that we prevent further injury as we're going forward. And your workouts will show. If you've increased your mobility, like he said, in the front rack, the overhead position, whatever it may be, it's going to increase your performance in that workout and over a large amount of time.
Yeah, and just kind of bringing this all back full circle, you know, not even necessarily talking about the gym, but just your life in general. You're going to be better. You're going to be less stressed. You're going to recover better. You know, your relationships ideally would be better with other humans because you're not stressed out.
Yeah,
You're happier. You're easier to get along with. You know, you're happy to do things at your work. Your workouts are good. You're sleeping well. You're eating well. All of these things kind of come together to, you know, hopefully help us live better. And that's kind of what we wanted to bring home today. We'll post a couple links in the bio to our website, a couple different companies that maybe we talked about today, Ramwad, some things for sleep and stuff like that. We'll post some links there and we'll see you guys on the next episode.
Good stuff.
Have a good day.